Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "Now how can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. On the Upper West Side of New York, there lived an assimilated Jew who was a militant atheist. And he sent his son to Trinity School, which used to be connected to Trinity Episcopal Church, but was no longer connected to them and was actually now a secular school. And so he was surprised one month when his son came home and asked the question, "Dad, do you know what the word Trinity means?" "It means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And his father flew into a rage, and he grabbed his son by the shoulders and began to shake him, and he said, "Danny, I want to tell you something, and I never want you to forget it. There is only one God, and we don't believe in him." Well, a lot of people don't believe in God, but when you throw in the Trinity, that makes it even more difficult for some people to believe in God. When we talk about the Trinity, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He used to be called the Holy Ghost many years ago. And many years ago, there was a family visiting from India who was visiting an American family. And the couple decided to go off on a trip and leave their 11-year-old daughter with this American family. And so as they did so, the American family took the 11-year-old to church with them on Sunday. And after the service, they asked her how they liked the service. And she said, "Well, I liked it okay, but I was wondering why they left out the West Coast." And the family was wondering, "What do you mean, leaving out the West Coast?" She said, "You know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Well, a lot of people are confused when you talk about God, and certainly that confusion is even greater when you talk about the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity is clearly seen in the pages of Scripture. We believe that you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin, that it's inspired by God, and because of that fact, we believe you can trust what it says about who God is. And when the Bible describes God, it describes God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet the Bible says there's only one God. So either we have a contradiction here, or we have a description of a divine mystery. I think it's a description of a divine mystery because, in reality, I wouldn't want to worship a God who I could fully comprehend, who I could fully understand. It makes sense to me that I can't understand all that there is about the nature of God. And yet, because God has revealed himself to us in that way, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's how I choose to believe in him.
Now, many people believe in a God who is a giant man sitting upon a throne with a white beard. But actually, Jesus describes God as spirit. And so in the essence of God, there are three separate and distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. Each member is working as a tri-unity together to accomplish the purposes of God. Now we see that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the original creation. Back in the book of Genesis, we see that the Father is described as creator, the Son is the one through whom all things were created, and the Holy Spirit was there at the creation as well. So the Trinity was involved in the first creation. And then we have the creation of man. We see that the Trinity was involved there when God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," referring obviously to each member of the Trinity describing the creation of man made in their image. And then we have the creation of the ministry of Jesus Christ, if you will, where we see the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there at the baptism of Jesus. When the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit did then ascending and descending upon Jesus to confirm and affirm his ministry. And then we see that the Christian itself is the one who is involved with the Trinity. So the Father, no one comes to the Father except, no one comes to Jesus except those who are drawn by the Father. And Jesus, of course, himself is the sacrifice for our sins through whom salvation comes. He makes it possible for us to have salvation, to have our sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is the one who makes that possible for us because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And so the divine Trinity is involved in the creation of the Christian. Paul calls us a new creation. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we are born again of the Spirit, as Jesus said in our gospel lesson today, and we become a new creation in Christ. And so the Trinity is involved in different aspects of the creation throughout history and will ultimately be involved in the new creation of the heavens and the earth when Christ comes back again. And so why is it important to believe in the Trinity? Why is that so important? There's a couple of authors who shared about the Trinity, and one named Justin Dillehay says this: "One reason we Americans neglect the Trinity is because we're so pragmatic. Instead of asking, 'Is it true?' we're more likely to ask, 'Is it useful? Will it help me get ahead? Will it help me to be a better spouse or parent?' Those are good questions, but if that's all that matters to us, then how are we any different from the pagans? Even the pagans care about those things." End quote. Fred Sanders observes this: "It makes no sense to ask what the point of the Trinity is or what purpose the Trinity serves. The Trinity isn't for anything beyond itself, because the Trinity is God. God is God in this way. God's way of being God is to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit simultaneously from all eternity, perfectly complete in a triune fellowship of love. If we don't take this as our starting point, everything we say about the practical relevance of the Trinity could lead to one colossal misunderstanding, thinking of God the Trinity as a means to some other end, as if God were the Trinity in order to make himself useful." So, believing in the Trinity is vitally important, not only because that's how the Bible describes it and that's how God has revealed himself to us, but also because if we don't believe in the Trinity, we're believing in a false God. We're believing in a God who cannot save us. We're believing in a God who does not have a home for us in heaven. We're believing in a God who cannot forgive our sins. But if we believe in the true God who has been revealed in Scripture, then we're believing in a God who we can trust says that not only will he forgive our sins, not only can we have a relationship with him, but we also have a home that he is preparing for us in heaven. So it's important for us to believe in the Trinity, so much so that there was a bishop back in the ancient church, back in the 400s, who wrote one of the most complex descriptions of the Trinity ever written. And yet, as we read through that whole collection of ideas about the Trinity, we begin to realize that he's describing this divine mystery about which I've been speaking. And this is something the church has believed and held to throughout the course of its history. So what I want us to do today is to read that confession, which is called the Athanasian Creed. And the Athanasian Creed is printed in your bulletin. So if you'll turn in your bulletins to page 6, and as we look at our bulletins, we're going to read through this creed together, just as we read through the Nicene Creed. And I hope that you'll, as we read through it, you'll not get confused or lost in the complicated verbiage here, but you'll begin to realize that he's describing something that is beyond our comprehension. And yet he's describing someone whom we can apprehend. So would you stand and join me in saying the Creed of St. Athanasius? Whosoever will be saved, before all things it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord, and yet not three Lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge the person of himself, to be both God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say, there being three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after other. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is before said, the unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh substitute, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he in one Christ, one not in conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to the quick and the dead. At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the natural faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot see.